The following message is brought to you by Terry Moore. And now, Mr. Moore.
To begin, I wanted to mention that every Christian parent and every child of Christian parents are familiar with the fifth commandment. Fathers and mothers alike will quote the fifth commandment while reprimanding their children, and they will continually mention it throughout the child's life. To honor your father and your mother is drilled into our youngsters' heads from a very early age in an attempt to get them to submit or, of course, risk breaking one of God's commandments. But is obedience all that this commandment is about? Did God direct the fifth commandment solely to kids or adolescents or teenagers? What does it mean exactly to honor your father and your mother? Well, today I'm going to attempt to answer some of these questions and a few more as we continue the Ten Commandments series and move on to this very important and perhaps, I think, sometimes not fully understood fifth commandment. And so let's turn over to Ephesians 6, and we're going to begin there. You know, the fifth commandment, of course, is stated in Exodus 20 in verse 12. And I don't think I need to turn there. Most of us know what it is, but I will paraphrase it. It states, to honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land that the eternal your God gives to you. And so we see in this fifth commandment that there are two parts to it. There is the commandment, the instructions, and then there is a promise to those who follow the instructions. And so the instructions tell us to honor our father and our mother. And so the most commonly understood aspect of honoring fathers and mothers is obedience to them. And this is definitely an element of honoring parents and keeping the fifth commandment. And, you know, as a few examples, as if we need them, if a father instructs their child to sweep the porch, well, the children are to comply and go ahead and sweep the porch. If they're told to limit the scoops of ice cream to two, well, they have to obey the parents' instructions and limit what they are going to partake of. And so in this way, children will honor their parents by following their instructions. And I think Paul spoke of this in Ephesians 6, and beginning in verse 1, when he wrote, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then he quotes the commandment, "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. We see then that obedience is a vital aspect of keeping the fifth commandment, especially if you think about it, when children are young. I mean, they often do not have the maturity and therefore the insight into understanding exactly why certain guidelines must be followed. And in time, they will learn these things, and they will learn why their parent restricted certain behaviors and then, of course, promoted others. But in the meantime, children should obey their parents. But the responsibility of keeping this fifth commandment does not rely on the children alone. Parents have a fundamental role to play in this commandment. And so we see then that parents must instruct their children properly. And they also cannot be unreasonable in their demands. They have to give the children only what they can bear. We have to be fair. We have to be honest. And I think this is why Paul said in verse 4 of the same chapter, he said, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." And so we see then that fathers and mothers should have a good understanding of God's way of life. They should also have compassion and show mercy. And therefore, parents, I think, bear a large responsibility in rearing respectable children. This means that our instructions as adults or as parents must be in line with God's moral principles. And Paul wrote this when he spoke of this, I think, when we read the first verse, where it said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And so this tells children to follow their father and their mother's lead, but as they follow Christ, and they should do it for Christ's sake. It doesn't mean that children should be forced to put up with physical or mental abuse, things that are contrary to God's law. Parents have to be honorable, I believe, in order to deserve this kind of honor. And so, of course, this means that our values as parents must be with God's values. And let's turn over to Deuteronomy 11 to continue understanding this. Deuteronomy 11. Because this leads to a question that I'm going to only briefly touch on. And some of you may have considered this, either today or in the past. What if a child's parent instructs them to do something that is clearly wrong? I don't mean wrong according to a child's understanding, because sometimes children don't quite get it. They don't quite understand the scope, the big picture of things. But something that is clearly wrong. Should a child obey their parents if they tell them to steal, to lie, or to cheat? Well, the obvious answer would be no, they shouldn't. Children are not obligated to obey their parents if the instructions violate God's law. And this is a kind of perhaps a touchy subject. But if you consider the principle found in the fact that Peter and the apostles all agreed that we ought to obey God rather than men. And this means that any direction from anyone, whether it's to children or even to adults, anyone that is contrary to the commandments should not be honored. We're not obligated to honor those. Now, the problem is that with this is that children often do not know. They often do not understand the difference between, or at least the entire difference between right and wrong. And so they have to trust their parents. They trust their parents to guide them in the way that they should walk. And again, the reason I mention it is the responsibility turns toward the parents, that we have to do what is right in the eyes of God. We have to recognize, then, the context of the fifth commandment. You know, it's not directly stated in the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, unless they're not doing what is appropriate, then do not follow them. God does not say that. But if you consider the context of this commandment, the Ten Commandments were given to a nation that was to revere God, that was to follow God, a nation that would live as kings and priests, if you will, or I should say priests at least, on this planet. Understanding God's law, enforcing God's law in their own homes, even. And so God related his moral standards to these people, and it's understood that the children were to be reared by parents who feared him. And while relating his commandments, his statutes and judgments, he said this in Deuteronomy 11, and beginning in verse 18, he said, "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart, and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Meaning they should be a framework for how we live, what we do, even a shelter for us by keeping God's commandments, as he will bless and protect those who do. In verse 21, "And to do this, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Eternal swore to your fathers to give to them, like the days of the heavens above the earth." And so we see then that God gave the commandments with the understanding that parents should be raising their children righteously. And then God, I think here he even ties in the parental instruction to the fifth commandment by restating the promise in verse 21. That your days will be long and the days of your children will be prolonged in the land, or multiplied, as it says, in the land that he gives to them. And so, therefore, the honor given to fathers and mothers was in the fifth commandment is given in the context of parents that were to be honorable. Parents that would not ask their children to do anything contrary to God's law. That was never to be an option for parents. And therefore, the adults should raise their children in the way of the Lord. And children, therefore, were instructed to follow them, to honor them by following in their footsteps. And Paul, I think, spoke of this at least indirectly when he said to those people, disciples, if you will, to follow me. He said, "Follow me even as I follow Christ." Same thing goes for the parents to their children. Follow the parents even as they follow Christ. Let's go over a few chapters to Deuteronomy 7. And we see then that the instruction for children to honor their God-fearing parents would result in God keeping a promise. They would prosper and live long in the land. And so the respect given to parents was to pass from generation to generation. And this would mean honoring not just the direct parents, but the grandparents, the forefathers and foremothers, if you will, who feared God and kept his commandments. And this would result in a people, a society, a nation of integrity that God would bless, and it would cause him to prolong their days in the land. In Deuteronomy 7, in verse 11, God stated, "Therefore you shall keep the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. And then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and you do them, that the Eternal your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you, and he will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of the land, and your grain and your new wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock, and the land which he swore to your fathers to give to you. And you will be blessed above all peoples, and there shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock." And it says, "The Eternal will take away from you all the sicknesses and will not afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known." And so this all relates to everyone keeping the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments of God. Parents that are deserving of honor, therefore, are intimately connected to keeping the fifth commandment. Honor your parents as they honor God. Obey your parents as they obey God. And therefore, we as adults or parents must live being role models, if you will, striving to be role models for our children, to produce God-fearing children that would follow in our footsteps. You know, if a mother or if a father is abusive, if they do not enforce moral standards, well, the lawless behavior of their children is what? It's a reflection on them. It would be a reflection on us if we do not raise our children in the way that they should go. And so the sins, it even risks, I believe, the sins of immature children could fall upon the fathers because they didn't do what was right. They didn't teach the children the right way to go. That is, at least if they understand the right way to go. As the Proverbs 22 and verse 6 states, "Train a child up in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Because these are moral principles that are enduring. They last forever. And ultimately, everyone will come to see that God's way of life is the only way to live. It is the only way that will produce happiness for everyone. And so children will mature, and they will reflect upon what that was instructed to them by their God-fearing parents, and God willing, they will follow it. They will not depart from it. You know, as a slight example, I know he's not a member of the Church of God, but renowned basketball player Michael Jordan has maintained an image of integrity throughout his career and also throughout his retirement. And he's considered to be one of the greatest sports icons in history. And he wrote this regarding his parents. He said, My heroes were and are my parents. It wasn't that the rest of the world would necessarily think that they were heroic. It sounds like Christian parents, huh? But they were the adults I saw constantly, and I admired what I saw. If you're lucky, he said, you grow up in a house where you can learn what kind of person you should be from your parents. I think these are very beautiful words, words of wisdom that we can take to heart. You know, Michael Jordan went on to be a very successful sports star, if you will, a professional sportsman. He had drive, he had ambition, and he did it maintaining moral standards that he learned while living in a house of people that had integrity. And that's an important job, therefore, to mothers and also to fathers. You know, it's not enough that we simply put food on the table, that's important, or that we have a roof over our children's heads, that is important. But we have to go a step further. It's about teaching children what kind of people they should grow up to be. And so it's blatantly obvious, I believe, that the fifth commandment is not just for kids and adolescents and teenagers. In fact, we are all children, if you will. We are all potential children of God who are to honor our parents in the Lord, honor our grandparents, honor our forefathers, even the fathers of the faithful. Our forefathers, many of them, and our foremothers were people of integrity, and they sacrificed much. And we have examples of many people of faith throughout the Bible sacrificing much so that God's people would become honorable following their example, following God. And so the fifth commandment, therefore, I believe, is literally a way of maintaining the integrity of the family and also, therefore, future generations. Every one of God's people are held to higher standards, aren't we? Parents and children alike. And so even you and I might become forefathers or foremothers one day of the faithful. And wouldn't it be nice, and it should be our hope then, that future generations might consider what we did in our lives and consider us to be faithful forefathers, faithful foremothers, and choose to follow us, but as we follow Christ, as Paul had written. Let's go to John in chapter 8. Many of the Jews and Pharisees of Christ's time claimed to keep the commandments. They claimed to honor their fathers and mothers, and they even asserted that their father was Abraham, a man that's known as a father of the faithful. And so they contended that they were walking in Abraham's moral footsteps. But were they really? Were they really? What did Christ say about this? Well, let's look at John 8, and beginning in verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But they answered him and said, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" But Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. And therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." That's quite a dig there, don't you think? And they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." But Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." And so these people believed they were honoring their forefathers, but they truly were not. They were not following in the footsteps of a man who was the father of the faithful. They were, in fact, dishonoring Abraham, weren't they? And Abraham would have been rolling over in his grave if he were to know that these people were attributing their hypocrisy to him. Now, example for us is that we are all children of the faithful forefathers and foremothers. And the commandment to honor our parents, therefore, is not just to the young alone. It is to each one of us. It applies to all of us because we are all children of God, begotten children of God. Let's go to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. Another aspect of honoring our fathers and mothers is treating elders with respect. Many of us are familiar with this concept, and these are actually some of the basic attributes of developing Christian character, maintaining hospitality, being kind, being respectful and courteous to others. And all these traits, if you think about it, all of these traits truly stem from caring about other individuals, caring about their well-being, and hoping that, you know, that they get what they need and what they deserve in life. And so some of the work that I had done in the nursing field was with the elderly and the infirmed, and And I always enjoyed working with these people because most elderly people have a lot of wisdom that have been gained from their years of experience. And their stories and their analogies can be quite interesting and fascinating and helpful. And I admire them in many ways. And so there's a certain honor, I think, that should be given to those people who fall into this category. And the Bible calls these honorable folk the gray-headed. In Leviticus 19 and verse 32, there's an instruction stating, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Eternal." It's interesting that he ends it with, "I am the Eternal." We'll get to that a little bit later. And so revering elders is another aspect of keeping the fifth commandment. And many parents who are now grandparents and fourth great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents, these are people who contributed positively to society. And so they deserve, therefore, a certain level of honor. But again, we have to emphasize here, we have to remember that God is referring to the gray-headed individuals that fear him. People that are respectable, people that are deserving of honor. Proverbs 16, I think you know where I'm going. Even though we should be respectful to all of our elders, regardless of belief, the context of these scriptures is those who fear the true God. In Proverbs 16, in verse 31, to confirm this, it says, "The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness." Now, of course, the if you, most of your Bibles you'll see, it says the if is in italics. And that means if, the word if was added later. But if we remove it, I think it was rightly added. Because if you remove it, consider what it states. "The silver-haired head, a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness." And so therefore, the silver-haired or the gray-headed should be found in the way of righteousness, deserving of honor. Because the gray hair on a pervert is not a crown of glory, is it? No, to be wrinkled and old, to be foul-mouthed and dishonest is not honorable, is it? No, the kind of esteem that God places on the elderly, of course, relates to righteousness. These are the people God would honor, and we should honor as well. And so, if people live soberly, if they live righteously, if they strive to keep the commandments, and then they are honorable. And of course, their old age, therefore, could be considered a good old age in the eyes of God. If they are found to be faithful and true, then their silver-haired crown of glory might be exchanged for a crown that does not fade. The weathered years, therefore, of the righteous can be worn as a badge of honor, if you will. And therefore, all of us are to honor these people. And I think this is directly related to the fifth commandment of honoring your father and your mother. Matthew 15 says, some cultures naturally honor their elderly. Sadly, most do not. Instead, we widely see that the aged are overlooked, for the most part, ignored, even disregarded by some. And this is nothing new, because the human tendency is to not value that which cramps our style, that doesn't, you know, think the way we do or do the things that we like to do. And so younger generations, I believe, widely feel that the old cannot relate to their modern lifestyle, when it's usually the other way around, that the younger become out of touch with their elders. Now, the Pharisees of Christ's time, they did something similar. Instead of honoring the gray-haired, many would attempt to selfishly disregard them. In Matthew 15, in verse 3, well, let's begin reading in verse 2. some of the scribes and Pharisees saying to Jesus here, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Well, Christ answers this, "Well, this is a tradition you made up." And here's what he says. He answered and said to them, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me, it's a gift from God,'" otherwise known as Corban, "then he need not to honor his father and mother. And thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." And so this means that these men and women, they were not providing for their elderly parents or their great-grandparents or their great-great-grandparents. They were not, they would instead choose to say, "Well, this is going to be, I'm going to dedicate these funds, my resources to God, and therefore I don't have to provide and take care of them." But Christ said this is transgressing the fifth commandment. You know, modern lifestyles that may cause the elderly to become an inconvenience led these people to avoid their responsibility to their mothers and fathers. But to make matters worse, they actually attempted to justify such disregard by claiming that they, "Well, we're not morally responsible to do this because, you know, this is, we're going to dedicate our resources to God." Fend for yourself, in other words, I think is what a way of paraphrasing this. You grandparents, fend for yourself. You know, we have better things to do with our time and our resources. But do you know what God said about this? Hypocrites. And he called them hypocrites for transgressing the commandment. And he also said this. This is earlier said through the prophet Samuel. What Samuel said to Saul. What did he say? He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey God is better than to make a sacrifice or an offering. And of course, this is in the context of, I think, trying to make a sacrifice or an offering to make up for the disobedience. You know, I'm not going to fully obey God in this area, but I'll make up for it for, you know, giving more offerings later. But God's merciful, of course. But God will not disregard the fact that people might try to skirt their responsibilities and then counterbalance it by doing something else. I'm going to make up for it by doing something else. No, it's better to obey and rather than to sacrifice. And in all reality, we can do both. We can do both. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Luke 11. Christ addressed vain attempts to set things right without actually doing what is right. In Luke 11, you see, the Pharisees believed they could make up for their shortcomings if they were, you know, more rigorous or zealous, if you will, in other areas. And perhaps it was because the other areas were easier to overcome. But the Jews at that time, you know, they were meticulous tithe payers. And they believed, many of them believed, well, this is enough. This can make up for the other things. And Christ said that it was not. In Luke 11, in verse 42, Christ said, "Woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe of mint and rue and all manner of herbs, but you pass by in justice and the love of God." But then he says this, "These things you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." In other words, tithing on your mint, cumin, anise, whatever it might be, that's proper. It's right to tithe on our increase. But that doesn't mean we can leave the other things undone. No, we need to do both. And that's what Christ is saying here, that we can do both. And it's really not that difficult. You know, Christ later would say that his burden is light, his yoke is easy. And of course, that's relatively speaking, because God's law can be kept in its entirety. Yes, it can, but it takes effort. And we're going to stumble from time to time. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to trip, and we need to get back up and repent and turn around. Because if we stay in the game, if we continue to keep trying, if we keep swinging at that sin, trying to hit it out of the ballpark, eventually we're going to hit a home run. We will. Because we're not alone in this. Where we are weak, God will help us with his strength. If we keep trying, we can make it through sincere efforts. And in doing this, we are keeping the fifth commandment. because we are honoring God the Father. Yes, our obedience to God, to Him, is a sign of our love. It is a sign of our reverence for God. All the way back to Proverbs 1. We had obtained an animal, a dog, almost a year ago. He's a cute dog. His name is Marbles, a little beagle. And we want the dog to be well-behaved. And so we began doing some training and are still in the process of doing training, teaching him good manners the best we can that a dog can have, and to do tricks and stuff. It's all very cute. But in the process of learning what is necessary to have a well-behaved pet, I'd realized that pets will obey their masters, and they will do it out of a type of love that they have for their masters. Now, this doesn't mean that they're automatically going to be well-behaved. There still needs to be a training process that goes on. It might take hours, days, even months to get a dog to learn certain behaviors that the master desires. But eventually they will obey because they want to please their master. They want to do what makes their master happy. Dogs, it's very interesting. They're actually designed to want to please. But much of the time they don't know how. They don't know exactly what the parents want. Or the parents, getting confused here. They don't know exactly what their masters want. And that's why it's very important when we're training animals to give them lots of attaboys. Good dog, good dog. We often forget that. We just want to roll over, play dead, and then no kudos or no reward or praise. That's what they want more than anything. Sure, the treats help, but they want praise. They want to see, oh, this makes my master happy. I want to do that because I love my master, and I want to make them happy. And I think this is very interesting because there is something similar in this relationship between a pet and its master and us and our master or our Lord. You know, not that we're God's pets, but there is something similar in this. You know, obedience does not come naturally to human beings. It doesn't come naturally to any one of us. Human nature does not innately desire to keep God's commandments. And the scriptures even state that the carnal mind is enmity with God. Left to its own, it's going to disobey God. And therefore, we have to practice obedience, don't we? We have to practice it. We have to train ourselves to be obedient. We have to do it over and over and over again. And eventually, if we keep at it, it will become second nature to us, much like training a pet. And so in this process, we learn to obey God. But we also should learn to do it out of what? Out of love. Out of love for God. Out of a desire to please Him, to do what is right in His eyes. And so we should ask ourselves, then, do we love God? What are we doing it for? You know, is it our desire to do the Father's will? What is it exactly that motivates us? And this leads to a final point that I would like to make regarding the fifth commandment. It's the spiritual application of honoring our fathers and mothers. And though there are, I think, several spiritual applications to this commandment, there's one that might not be fully understood. And it's how the fifth commandment relates to honoring God the Father. And then also, I think, in part, Jerusalem above, which is in the scriptures stated to be the mother of us all. Now, the fifth commandment is often referred to as the beginning of the commands that were designed to reflect love toward man or fellow human beings. And we see, of course, that the first four commandments regard love for God, you know, having no other gods before Him, having no graven images, not taking His name in vain, and keeping God's Sabbath holy. And then we begin the rest of the commandments of honoring your parents and not stealing or killing or committing adultery or deceiving one another and not coveting. And those are all related to how we treat each other. But is it possible that there is a duality in the fifth commandment in that it applies to both men and women and also to God? Now consider a foundational proverb in Proverbs 1 and verses 8 and 9. Where it's written, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. And so this is clearly directed toward the parents. But of course, it's directed to parents that revere and obey God. That is the context of what is written here. The law of the mother is to be the law of God. And this is what will bring honor to the children. And the holy law will cause them to have an ornament of grace around their neck or their head, which is God's influence in their minds. Yes, working in their minds, affecting the choices they make and their behaviors. Now, if you go over a few chapters to Proverbs 6, Proverbs 6 and verse 20. My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck, and when you roam or walk, they will lead you. And when you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now these words, think about it, these words bear the mark of the same words that God spoke to Israel. They are virtually the same in many instances, clearly relating the fact that we are to receive the knowledge of both our Father physically and our Father spiritually. They are to be one in the same, our mother physically, and also the law of Jerusalem above. The law of the church. It's just to be God's law, isn't it? So I believe this proverb has a direct correlation to God's statement in Deuteronomy 6. You don't have to turn there. You can if you like, but Deuteronomy 6. And beginning in verse 6, it says, God said, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now consider that, compare that to what we had read in Proverbs 6. Interesting, two same chapters. Proverbs 6, Deuteronomy 6. Proverbs 6 states, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother, binding them continually upon your heart. Deuteronomy 6 says, these words which I command you shall be in your heart. And what are they? The words of the Father, aren't they? Proverbs 6 says, tie them around your neck, and when you walk, they will lead you. And Deuteronomy 6 says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And Proverbs 6 says, when you sleep, these words will keep you, and when you awake, they will speak with you. And Proverbs 6 also states that the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And that's a perfect description of God's word. Psalm 119:105 states that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Christ said that he is the light of the world, that he is the way, the truth that leads to life, to eternal life. And I believe that these are just a few of the scriptures that are inextricably tied together in regarding the fifth commandment and regarding God's instructions to his people. The law of the Father, the law of a mother, they are to be one with the law of God. And therefore, to honor our fathers and to honor our mothers, I believe, is directly related to honoring God. It is. And I think this is perhaps why such a harsh punishment was dealt to those who cursed their parents in ancient Israel, because God was setting the example. Your parents represent me. You're going to or if you're cursing your parents, you're cursing God. And God dealt out a harsh punishment as an example of how he felt about children that would curse and disobey their parents. You know, this parallel relationship in the fifth commandment was mentioned, I think, to priests who did not honor God when Israel strayed from God's standards. And Malachi wrote this in Malachi 1 and verse 6. God said, a son honors his father and a servant his master. And if then I, am the Father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? And so God says that he is a father, and that he is a father that is deserving of honor. In fact, he is the most honorable father that ever will be. And then the lesson of honoring God can be learned, therefore, in the fifth commandment, to honor our parents. And this commandment stretches beyond human reverence. It is a way in which we, our children, and we, even as parents, honor God. Let's go over to Deuteronomy 5, and we're going to end over there. The relationship between God's law and the law of the fathers and mothers bears another striking similarity. And while stating the fifth commandment, this is a place where the commandments are restated. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16 reads, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Eternal your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it might be well with you in the land which the Eternal your God is giving you." And so we see the second part of the commandment here is a promise of prosperity and long life to those who will keep God's commandments. And similarly, God promises a blessing of prosperity and also of eternal life to those people who faithfully keep his commandments. Christ would later say in John 12 that he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world, that is, will keep it for eternal life. He will have eternal life. And then Christ said, "If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Because if we're serving God, we're deserving of honor. And then therefore, Father will honor us, have respect for us. So honoring God will make us honorable, and God promises, therefore, a blessing to those people who are honorable or faithful. And so realize that the fifth commandment is not just for the young. It is for all of God's people. It stretches beyond obedience and includes reverence. It includes respect. It includes integrity. And it includes principles that are light to guide our path in life. And we are to shine that light so that our children can see it and follow that same path. You see, obeying God's law, his commandments, and applying his judgments in our lives can lead to our days becoming eternally long in the land and the place that God promises to give those who honor their parents and who live by his law and therefore honoring God.